Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Ye of little faith, the Kansas bandwagon is coming. It is a steam train rolling across the plains. Get out of the way.
SI's Ross Dellinger.
And I think the talent of that team probably most would say is better than the talent or just as good as TCU. It's going to be rowdy. Fans are going to be ugly and nasty.
And SI's Pat Forty.
This is scaring me because Ross and I are agreeing on everything, which means we're both going to go 0-6.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
Hi, welcome to the pod. Race for the case time. We did better last week. Everyone was over 500.
Right, man.
Woo.
We're on the comeback trail. One of us did better than everybody else. I'm trying to think who that was. Oh, geez. That was.
Tap is 12-9-1. Pat is 9-12-1. I'm 8-14. Ross 7-15, Sean 6-12. This is an FCS level effort so far. Let's get your roadie Rams.
We need a little more out of you, Sean.
Producer Sean, explain yourself. What is the 6-12 business?
I gave a Rhode Island effort as they got blown out 42-21 versus Delaware last weekend. It was not great.
What was your worst loss? Sean played football at Rhode Island. What was your worst loss at Rhode Island?
Worst loss was my freshman year. I was redshirted, but they let me travel versus James Madison just because from Virginia. It was a pretty nice gesture. I told my family to come. Granddad's in the stands. Girlfriend at the time's in the stands. We lost 84-7.
Oh, dear.
77.
Girlfriend dumped
loss.
Your ass, huh?
Wow.
Girlfriend dumped.
Didn't last much longer after that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Our boyfriend wasn't playing, and he was on a bad team.
It was like, if you can't make this sorry-ass team. Yeah, she went over to the James Madison side. Well, listen, wasn't true love. All right. Yeah, that's a good – that would do it.
Yeah.
I did not know where you had an answer.
He had it ready.
There. That one sticks with you.
Yeah.
You're the man in the arena, though. You're in the –
That's right. That's right.
All right, so we're going to pick our five games and our lock of the week. I did want to discuss a couple others that I find interesting. Wisconsin is at Ohio State. So this is not one of our Race to the Case games, but Badgers lost to Washington State. They're in a horrible division in the Big Ten West. I'll start with you, Ross. What do you want to see out of the Badgers in this game? This was should have been a marquee game in the Big Ten, but that Washington State loss really took the wind out of the sails.
Yeah, in fact, I was supposed to go cover the game, and then Washington State went in there and beat Wisconsin, and so we kind of pulled me off that game. But, you certainly want to see a better showing from Wisconsin than what they had against Washington State. I think their only other Power 5, competition so far, or only other quality competition. So you'd want to see them move the ball a little better. And I'm really interested, I'm more interested in Ohio State, of course, because I want to see, we've seen Ohio State, against Notre Dame, and we all thought that was the good quality competition. And I think, we know now that Notre Dame is not as quality as maybe we first thought. And I'm really interested in seeing what Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, you know, if he's really kind of rectified that defensive unit that has struggled the last few years or so. We know their offense is going to be good. We know their offense is really talented. So I'll be interested against a offense that it, you know, that isn't real great in Wisconsin. You know, can Ohio State play like that and slow them down? So yeah, I'll be interested to see how that goes. I have a suspicion that this is not going to be a very entertaining type game.
Yeah, I think so too. I want to see Ohio State's receivers against Wisconsin's secondary. I don't know whether Wisconsin can stay with them, but they do lead the Big Ten in interceptions. They got 7 of them. They've only allowed 1 touchdown pass, but you're now taking on a team that has 12 touchdowns and 0 interceptions and is tied for the lead nationally in 40-yard plays or longer in the passing game. So I suspect it's a boat race in the making for Ohio State, but we'll see if Wisconsin can find a way to keep it close.
All right, how about this one? Also, it was supposed to be a big marquee game. Kansas State at Oklahoma. The loss to Tulane last week in Manhattan upset this one. Tulane is on fire. I guess the question I'd want to know is, does this K-State just kind of overlooking Tulane as they went from Missouri, then Tulane, then Oklahoma? But what do you want to see here, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, that is the question, is what's real with Kansas State? Chris Kleeman's done a good job there, but he's also they've lacked a little bit of consistency, kind of like when they have a loss, they have multiple losses. I mean, you go back to 2020, they were 4-1, and then they lost their last 6 or last 5. Last year, they start 3-0, then they lose 3 straight, and then you win 4 straight and lose 2 straight. And so, you know, can they just get back to playing well after a bad performance? And that was a bad one, to lose to Tulane at home after stomping Missouri. So I just want to see a little more consistency or a little more bounce back, I guess, out of the Wildcats.
And more consistency out of the quarterback position, right? I mean, guess who, you know, Kansas State's quarterback is Adrian Martinez, who we all know from Nebraska, was inconsistent at times. In fact, this game, like many games now in college football, pits two transfer quarterbacks. You know, and Dylan Gabriel for Oklahoma played lights out against Nebraska. You know, really impressive. And it'll be pretty interesting if he can kind of keep that up. And I'm starting to think that you know, in Brent Venables' first year, that gosh, Oklahoma might be an actual threat to make the playoffs. It's something I didn't necessarily expect, I guess, in year one, especially the losses. But I don't know. Maybe they are. Be another chance for them to prove that.
Notre Dame, fresh off the skidding into victory against Cal, gets the win, going to 3-0 North Carolina, who has a victory over App State, a wild one. They skidded into that victory. What do you want to see here, Ross?
Yeah. North Carolina has, I mean, you look at their schedule and you're kind of thinking, you know, they haven't played anybody up to snuff. But heck, you know, they're 2-0 against the Sun Belt. And right now, the Sun Belt seems to be one of the more dominant conferences in college football. So, yeah, it you know, Notre Dame goes on the road, and it's another opportunity, right, for the Irish to try to get this offense going. Man, it has been a struggle. And what better way to get the offense going than against a team that gave up, what, 40 points in one quarter to a Sun Belt team? So Gene Chizik, defensive coordinator at North Carolina, paid a lot of money, came back into coaching from the TV booth to try to fix North Carolina's defense, and they have not looked good. So an opportunity on both sides for Notre Dame and Tommy Rees to finally get the offense maybe going against, you know, a unit that has struggled.
This is the opportunity for sure. I mean, that defense terrible for North Carolina. Mm. And the one thing they've been susceptible on the ground. App State has a good running game. So 288 yards against them. Okay. But then they turned around and gave up 235 on the ground to winless Georgia State. So If Notre Dame, I don't expect Notre Dame to be able to throw the ball very well. Drew Pine's not a very good passer. Their wide receivers can't separate. They have a tight end passing game. That's it. Or running backs out of the backfields. But I do think that if you're ever going to get the running game cranked up, this is the opportunity to do it. The flip side, the only possibility where North Carolina's coming off a bye week. So maybe Gene Chizik had some time to fix something there, and they're going to be better defensively. And they're certainly going to be more rested than Notre Dame. But I still think this is an opportunity for Notre Dame to right its ship offensively right here.
All right, those are some. We'll get to more probably after we pick. But I just wanted to get to those ones. Those are all games that at the beginning of the season looked like they were going to be the three major games this weekend. And none of them are.
Right.
Or at least looked like they would be three major games. But some unexpectedness. That's what the season's all about. And, of course, we'll get – I'm hoping Sean picks the roadie Rams versus Pitt, although I don't think there's a spread on that. Is there a number later? Is that going to be your lock of the week?
No, there's no line on it that I've – I'm looking at it right here. Noon game, Saturday, no line.
Yeah.
Sorry, right. Sean.
What do we want to see out of Rhode Island? No. All right, let's get to the games we are going to pick. Number 5, Clemson is at number 21 – Wake Forest game is at noon on Saturday. ABC. Clemson is giving 7 over under 55.5. Pat, who you got?
Oh, this game boils down to one thing, and I'll be there. What is Wake Forest's ability to improve enough to not get destroyed in the trenches? That's where this whole game rests. That Clemson's beaten Wake Forest 13 times in a row. The average rushing yardage in those games, Clemson 211, Wake Forest 79. They punch them in the mouth. They run them over. That's the story of this whole series. Is Wake Forest better? Are they good enough now to stand up and say, uh-uh, we're not going to let you run over us? That if they can do that, if they can make DJ Uiagalelei throw the ball a bunch, they've got a chance there. I'm still taking Clemson to cover the number. Clemson by more than 7.
Yeah, I'm taking Clemson too, though I don't feel too good about it. And I think there's a lot of people in Clemson that are pretty anxious about this trip. You know, one of them mentioned about, like, you know, going to a hornet's nest type of thing, he suggested. So, I think that's partly because we haven't seen a full, complete, solid game from Clemson yet. We just haven't seen it. You know, you look at the last game against Louisiana Tech, and it was 16-6 or 13-6 at halftime. Clemson led, and then of course the Georgia Tech game. It took a second half effort by Clemson to pull away, and then you know, the Furman game was pretty ugly, especially from a defensive standpoint. They didn't allow a lot of points, but I know Dabo Swinney was really angry after that Furman game with his defensive outing and how much they. Couldn't get off the field, I think, you know, third down and stuff. So we haven't seen a full game from Clemson. So maybe we'll see it. It's certainly going to take close to a full game to cover that 7, but I'm going to say we do finally see it from Clemson on the road in Wake, and they cover the 7.
Sean?
I think I'm becoming a Dabo believer here. Not because they have a spectacular team this year by any means, but every week he does something to draw the ire of college football fans and Clemson fans, and he just seems to keep on winning. If it's him sprinting down the hill looking like a goofball, so be it. But he wins, so I think I'm riding with Clemson here versus Wake Forest.
That might be like it's you know how they have all those, that graveyard by the Clemson stadium or by the facility, when they eventually bury Dabo, it'd just be Buddy Wins.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of a goofball. Kind of a goofball, Buddy Wins.
Yeah.
He's a likable goofball. I think Clemson gets it going. Wake gave up 36 to Liberty, 25 to Vanderbilt. I know they haven't looked great, but I think Clemson's going to have enough offense to win this. Should be a great environment at Truist Field. In Winston-Salem.
The only thing I would say there is it may be a hornet's nest, but it's a small hornet's nest. And Clemson fans travel pretty well. I'm not sure Wake can whip up too much fervor.
They have Winston and Salem.
They do. They can they can them. Call yeah. upon both municipalities to help.
Winston and Salem. Yeah. No, they have the hyphen. Why the hyphen? Why not just why name it with the hyphen? What happens? Like one of those old newspaper mergers. Next game, unranked. Duke Blue Devils, 3 wins, 0 losses. Kansas Jayhawks, 3 wins, 0 losses. No Coach K, no Bill Self, no John Shire, no nothing. This is football, baby. Lawrence, Kansas, noon, 11 a.m. in Lawrence. This is so disrespectful for a matchup like this. Kansas is favored by 7.5. They put a damn hook on Kansas.
It's incredible.
How about this? The over-under is 66. That was like a month's worth of offense for these two teams. Who wins? Ross.
Are we going – what line are we
games
going?
Games on
we're
going FS1. With,
we're going with 7.5 or we're going with 9?
7.5 is the number according to Wetzel.
7.5.
Oh,
wait.
Is it 9 in the – oh, yeah. We have 9.
I got 9.
Yeah.
All right, Kansas minus 9.
Yeah. Yeah, 9.
God, the Jayhawks.
I know. I know.
Kansas being favored by 9 against a non-FCS school is like
unbelievable. I think, you got to go back to maybe, I want to say I saw a stat, you got to go back to 2009 or 2008 maybe when they were favored by this much over like another Power 5.
Mangina or
Yeah, maybe 07. Yeah, it's hard for me to pick Kansas to cover a spread of 9, and that's why I'm not. I think the Blue Devils cover. I don't know that they win, but I do think they cover. Mike Elko's got off to a great start there. Their defense has been playing pretty solid, and the offense has been doing enough. I think they do enough to cover, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kansas wins by 14. You know, I'm a fan of this kid, this Jalen Daniels, man. He's been tearing up on the ground and in the air. But give me Duke to cover the 9. I just it's hard for me to pull the trigger on Kansas covering anything, let alone 9.
It was literally hard for you to get the words out of your mouth, though, to say, give me Duke.
I mean, it's just hard
to take either side in this, isn't it?
Struggled.
I mean, just by muscle memory. But
not your best segment right there. Not your best segment. But you got through it. You got through it.
I'm with you. Kansas is going to win, but I just can't believe Kansas favored over any bunch of human beings by 9 points. So Duke covers. Duke has already forced 6 fumbles this year, which ties their total from last year. Defense is just so much better under Elko than it has been. So they're going to find enough ways to slow down Kansas, and Riley Leonard, their quarterback, has played well. So I will take Kansas to win, but the Blue Devils to cover.
Earlier in the show, Dan, you asked me what our biggest loss was at Rhode Island. Obviously 84-7 is hard to beat. Our second biggest loss was to Kansas 55-6 in 2016.
Oh dear. So was that in Lawrence?
That was in Lawrence. They flew the team out. I didn't have to fly to that. So, again, I can't attest to whether or not the stadium is real or not.
Okay.
But
the bird is not real. There's no Jayhawk. There's no such thing as a Jayhawk. Yeah. So the bird's not real. Is the stadium real? I don't know.
Because of that, maybe I have a little bit of resentment. So I'm going to have Duke covering the 9 here. I can't rock chalk.
Guys are just ye of little faith. The Kansas bandwagon is coming. It is a steam train.
A steam train.
Rolling across the plains. Get out of the way. KU, Rock Chalk, Jayhawk.
You are laying 9 points with Kansas.
9 points. They're going to ring up 50 again.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
It's unstoppable. Unstoppable. It might be one of my worst picks ever. That is saying something. Anyway, I'm sticking with. I cannot back off Kansas. All right, number 20, Florida, is at Rocky Top. Game is at 3:30, CBS. Tennessee laying 11. Over under 62.5. Ross, I think you're first this time.
That is a lot of points. I don't think that Florida's going to go in there and win they have obviously struggled lately. In fact, I was looking at some stats, and Anthony Richardson, our Heisman winner after week one, has not yet thrown a touchdown pass through 3 weeks. It's kind of stunning what's happened there. So I don't think they're going to go in there and win, but man, I think it's going to be closer than 11. So give me Florida to defensively keep the Gators lingering around a little bit. But it scares me. This pick scares me because Tennessee has scored some points. I mean, they have looked pretty impressive offensively. I think they're averaging around, 550 yards of offense. They've scored 63, 37, and 59 points. But give me the Gators to hang around a little bit with its defense and maybe run Anthony Richardson a little more, guys. Use his legs.
Yeah. This is scaring me because Ross and I are agreeing on everything, which means we're both going to go 0-6. But
yeah,
I'm with you just because Florida's defense is good enough to keep this game competitive. And I have to think that, yes, Florida is ready to put the ball more in Anthony Richardson's hands as a rusher. It just has been strange to watch them not use him in that area as more. I mean, he had 11 carries for 106 yards against Utah. He was phenomenal. Then 6 carries for 4 yards against Kentucky, 7 for 24 against South Florida. I think he's got to run it 15 times in this game. And so if they do that and they have some success there, Florida's defense keeps it fairly close. Tennessee is playing a better team than they have faced, certainly a better defensive team than they have faced so far this year. I think they can at least keep it inside of the number, but I think Tennessee will win.
I'm taking Tennessee to cover. I think this is a team that's playing with some really good momentum. I think it's a team that has some solid faith in their quarterback, Hendon Hooker. And then additionally, if it comes down to it in the fourth quarter, I'm taking Tennessee to maybe break away just on strictly quarterback play. Richardson might get the run hit out of him by quarter four, and then we're looking at a game that could easily get away from Florida in the fourth quarter. So I'm riding with the Vols.
The Vols are averaging 61 points a game against the MAC, Ball State and Akron. The MAC is not going to be there on Saturday. 11's too much. I will take the Gators, but a little shaky on that one. I'm shaky on everything.
your picks have reflected that. Yeah.
Shaky. Ooh. Week. Number 10, Arkansas. Whooping. Visiting number 23, Texas A&M. Game is played in Arlington, Texas. And so not visiting, my bad. A&M is the favorite 2.5 points. Pat, who you got?
I'm surprised at this line. I would favor Arkansas, so I'm taking Arkansas to win outright and certainly to cover the number. A&M's, their defense played well against Miami. They came up with red zone stops, but Arkansas can run the ball. Arkansas has outrushed their first three opponents by more than 500 yards. And A&M hasn't been able to run the ball, and their quarterback play has been no good. So I know that Arkansas struggled last week against Missouri State, but I think that's a product of overlooking them because Bobby Petrino doesn't mean anything to those players. Playing him might have meant something to the fans. Didn't mean anything to them. They overlooked him. They will certainly be ready for this game. This has been a good rivalry. They've had a lot of close games there in Jerry World between these two, but Arkansas beat them last year, and they're going to beat them this year.
All right, Pat, here you go. We've been agreeing, and this time we're not going to agree. So okay. It might make you feel a little better, even though I don't feel good about it at all. But give me the Aggies. They made a quarterback change. Didn't change much offensively. They're still struggling. But I'm going to put my faith in Brad Johnson's kid, Max Johnson, and to enliven the Aggie offense and do enough to cover the, 2.5? To cover the 2.5. And get a win in Arlington. I was given pause about Arkansas last week with the Missouri State game and how much they struggled and how they needed kind of this crazy miraculous fourth quarter to win. So give me the Aggies to win this game.
I'm going to take Arkansas to win this game. I think that Texas A&M still a program, maybe on some momentum from last week's win versus Miami. I think Arkansas gritted out a really good win versus Cincinnati earlier in the year, and that's what they've done. So for them to be dogs as well, two and a half isn't even quite. I'd take them money line in it also. So Arkansas to cover in this game.
So this is a little like last week's Washington-Michigan State game, where Michigan State was ranked 11th. Washington was unranked, and yet Washington was the favorite. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but generally Vegas is all over this, and usually that team, the unranked team, will win the game, as Washington easily did against Michigan State. Now, Texas A&M is ranked, but they're 23rd. So what's saying is Vegas is unimpressed with the AP poll. And
as we all are.
Yeah.
Like we all are. Where's the UPI poll? Let's bring that thing back. Is UPI still exists?
I don't think so.
Anyway, this is going against like the, this is not a good idea, but I think Arkansas, they play Cincinnati, they play South Carolina. They're like, it's Missouri week, Missouri State, time to drink, time to hang out, not pay attention. And then we'll beat them anyway, which they did. Now they're fired up and they want the Aggies. I think they're going to, I think they win the game. But man, Vegas is sending alarms everywhere. I could be cursing myself. All right, let's end it out west. Number 7, USC at Oregon State, who's got a little pep in their step. Trojans giving 6.5. Oregon State is the home dog. Pat, who you got?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to this game. Unfortunately, it's on Pac-12 Network, so good luck following it. But hey, USC has been my cover team. I've picked them as my lock of the week the last 2 weeks, and they have covered both times easily. So I am sticking with the Trojans here. I think incredibly explosive right now offensively, and they're making plays defensively. They're forcing turnovers. They are plus 10 turnover margin. Oregon State second in the Pac-12 at plus 5. But USC hadn't turned the ball over yet. If they can keep that up, they're just going to keep scoring because that offense is really good. So I don't think Oregon State can keep pace. I think there's going to be plenty of points, but I'm taking USC 45-35 and covering.
This is a shocking line. I just figured that the line would be at least 9 or 10 for USC. It at 6.5 under a touchdown and an extra point is stunning to me, and that's why. Give me the Trojans. Yeah, their offenses look incredible. And unlike a lot of other teams early in the season, I mean, their schedule hasn't been that bad. I mean, they did go on the road to Stanford, and they played Fresno and Travis Dye, the running back, USC running back. And we talk about a lot of their, receivers and obviously Caleb Williams. But, man, this Dye, he's looked really good. He made a run against Fresno. It just was awesome. Broke like 6 tackles on the way to the end zone. 100 yards the last 2 weeks at 6.5. Yeah, give me the Trojans to cover that. I love the Jonathan Smith Oregon State story, but Trojans win this one by at least, I feel like, 10.
I got to ride with the hot hand here, and that's USC. They are a cover machine so far this year, and Oregon State, they've helped me in a good lock of the week pick, and they've been really fun to watch late night on Saturdays. But USC, they just cover so far, so I can't go against the grain on that.
Yeah, Trojans. I think they look really, really good. They look really good. I want the USC-Oklahoma playoff match.
Yeah, we would all sign up for that. Oh, my goodness. The Oklahoma fan base would lose its mind. Like, that would be a friggin' religious quest for them to win that game.
It would be something else if that thing got down. Man, yeah. That would be an uncomfortable one.
Yeah.
All right, lock of the week. I believe we all hit on the lock of the week last year. Someone parlays us, which we don't recommend, but they've made out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What do we know? We don't know much. It's our records show. Pat, I think you were crowing about having your lock of the week early. You're not even like looking up the info now.
Yeah.
Who you got?
My lock of the week jumped off the screen to me. This is not a hard one. It's a Friday night game, late night Friday night for all you sickos out there. Boise State at UTEP. Boise is only laying 16.5. And here's why that makes no sense. Boise beat New Mexico on the road by 17 points. New Mexico beat UTEP by 17 points in El Paso. That's 34-point differential right there. And I know you can't just copy and paste that and expect that result, but I can't understand why the line's only 16.5. So give me Boise, because I'm afraid, Dan, your UTEP Miners are back to being awful.
Certified lock.
Well, you just don't walk into El Paso.
The Sun Bowl.
Yeah. The Sun Bowl on Friday night. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the L&J Cafe. The Boise's going to get loaded up on the green chicken enchiladas, and it's just going to be a mess.
No.
So that's a terrible pick by you. Go Miners.
Yeah.
Go Miners. Boise's not any good.
Boise's
our man Hank Bachman.
Boise's not that good, but UTEP's terrible. It's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, you're not going to say it so mean. All right, Ross.
Big game in Dallas, Texas this week. Sonny comes on back to SMU. SMU, TCU, the Mustangs at home with, I think, a team that Sonny kind of built. And I think the talent of that team probably most would say is better than the talent or just as good as TCU. It's going to be rowdy. Fans are going to be ugly and nasty. And SMU is getting 2 points. So give me the Mustangs, not just to cover those two, but to win outright.
Certified lock.
They get that big old skillet. They can make enchiladas and that. Cook anything you want. Right.
Love the skillet game.
SMU has got they've got their NIL game on point. Like they're dangerous going forward.
Oh yes,
they're calling it NIL. Now it's legal. They got the trans A&M out there. They got everything. They're bringing it back. If there is a way, and this is why we need guardrails, God forbid SMU gets good again. If you can buy your way into contention from the group of five, SMU's damn going to try it. They're going to damn try it. So we'll see how that plays out in the future. But always a great game between those two. Not always, actually. Sometimes it sucks. But when they're both good, it's a good game. Sean, lock of the week, who you got?
My lock of the week is going to come.
We'll let you pick URI on a. We'll give you like 6.5.
Six. I want nothing with URI versus. Just hope they stay healthy. That's all I need from them.
That's true. Don't go get hurt. All right, you don't have to pick them.
My lock is coming on a Thursday night. It is going to be Coastal Carolina going to Georgia State. Coastal Carolina giving 2.5. I like that, as this is a Georgia State team that lost to Charlotte 42-41. And Charlotte, notably, also on the season, lost to FCS, William and Mary. And this is a game that I don't think Jamie Chadwell loses. He has built a culture there that just knows how to win. So I'm riding with the Chanticleers in this game.
Good pick.
Certified lock.
Yeah. Yeah, small spread. I mean, Georgia State also hasn't won any games. All right, so I'm not going to pick this game, but I've got my eye on this Wyoming crew. They have, and maybe I'm the only one.
Yeah.
Maybe probably. I'm the only one.
I think you are.
There's more.
I'm on the Wyoming bandwagon.
Okay, yeah, there's more antelope than people in the state. So, I mean, even if they are paying attention, there ain't many of them.
Is that true?
I don't know. I've always said that. I drove through part of Wyoming over the summer, and it appeared to be true to my anecdotal.
Not a lot happening in Wyoming. Some good fishing and stuff. A lot of scenery, I guess.
Beautiful place.
Anyway, I'm not going to pick this, but I like what they're doing defensively. They've rallied. They got crushed at Illinois. They won 3 in a row. And I think that BYU is going to be exhausted. So BYU is giving 22.5. And I think they're going to be exhausted. I like Wyoming to cover that game, but that is not going to be my lock of the week. My lock of the week is Iowa visiting Rutgers. And Rutgers is a 7.5-point home dog. The Iowa offense sucks. I'm not going to fall for this lightning delayed 27 they put up against Nevada.
Their defense is very good, but I think Rutgers is going to get this done, score enough points to I don't know.
Well, I mean,
screw it. I'm taking Wyoming. Not my luck.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm switching back to Wyoming.
Oh, my God.
Certified lock.
Here's what I love that
I had locked it in. I had not locked the lock in. I'm taking Wyoming. You're going to do this. Go Wyo. Shock the world. Come within three touchdowns.
The over-under on Iowa Rutgers is 35
and a half. This Rutgers-Iowa game is like, this could be one of the great pillow fights of all time.
35 and a half is the over-under, and like, I would kind of lean towards the under. I mean, because it's going to be 14 to 10, you know?
Yeah, that's the point. 7.5 is a lot.
Yeah.
Rutgers, oh, I don't know what to do.
No, you're in with Wyoming. We've already had enough of your
I'm taking Wyoming. I mean, how is Iowa blow anybody out? That hook is just everything. But Rutgers is the type of team that can get three punts blocked in one half. Can absolutely happen to Rutgers. So, all right, that's it. Wyoming it is. We're going 6-0. Let's do this.
Get on board, man. The bandwagon is rolling.
The Wyoming bandwagon. I don't think there's much. Do we have any other games you guys are excited about? I want to see what Michigan State does. That was ugly last week. Now they got to travel all the way back from the West, and they get a 3-0 Minnesota team coming to East Lansing.
Right, and Minnesota's played nobody. I think Michigan State think Michigan State bounces back. I don't know if they win though, but I like Oregon at Washington State. We'll see what Washington State's got, and we'll see if Oregon, you know, has a little bit of a dip after playing a couple of impressive games and a big game against BYU.
Anyone else? I think everyone else checked out.
Yeah. We're good.
Hey. Sorry. I'm still here. Texas in how about Texas at Texas Tech?
Oh yeah.
You know, Texas is man, they obviously they look great against Alabama, and maybe they were beat up, you know, and they went into that game against UTSA last week, just kind of beat up and all that stuff after that electric game against Alabama, but they didn't look good and Tex played pretty well. I feel like probably better than I thought they would. Like I thought Houston would go in there and beat them, and they managed to beat Houston. So that's kind of a challenge, right? This is the exact game that Texas can't lose. Like you can't lose these games if you're gonna, you know,
yep.
get to that point of being back. You can't lose these kind of games. So this is a big one for them.
And with the uncertainty on when they're going to leave for the SEC, this could be your last chance for up in Lubbock to huck tortillas.
That's right. Bring your tortillas, man.
Yeah. At some point, these become really tough road games because there's just such anger at Texas for leaving. So just drill them with tortillas all day. One of the great traditions. Nobody gets hurt with a flying tortilla.
No, that's the thing. They're harmless, you know?
Even if you char it up, it's not. It's still pretty soft, yeah. All right. Well, it should be a good weekend. You know, nothing. There's no major matchup, but there's a lot of intrigue. And we'll be back on Sunday to overreact to all of it and bask in our perfect records of picking.
That's right.
At least mine will be.
Get on board.
I don't know about you guys. Appreciate everyone listening. Continue to subscribe. Tell your friends about us. We survive on word of mouth here. So the more people we can get to listen, the more we can keep doing this. We will talk to you later.